On this show, we will discuss elements of the story, which may also include some spoilers. So this is your official spoiler alert. It's okay if you haven't read the book. But if you're looking to avoid having it spoiled, go back, read the book, and then come on back and listen to our conversation.
Hey, if you read Are You There, God? It's me, Margaret. You know that the content of the book talks about things that happen when girls grow up. If your kiddo is not quite ready to hear this conversation, we wanted to let you know ahead of time, and you can look forward to the next episode.
Hello.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
You've done that before. You gotta mix it up.
This is like my classic.
You can't go like, hello.
It's me.
There you go.
I've been one. I can't remember all the words. I used to jam. Oh my gosh, Adele. Love you so much.
Well, welcome to Not Your Average Book Report, where we are unhinged. No, I'm kidding. We are a podcast about children's books where we believe in never losing the childlike joy of Adele. I mean, a joy of reading. My name is Sam, and I learned so much from the book today because I have two brothers, and that was the world I lived in. Mm-hmm. And I am joined by my co-host, my sister-in-law, a former high school English teacher with two kids who reads 100 books a year and is a
Gryffindor.
There it is.
I was just thinking, what did I make my book goal?
I was going to ask
for this year. Oh, I made it 100.
You're going to do hundo.
I'm going to go for 100. Years. Last year, my goal was 90.
Okay.
And I went over.
Oh.
But this year, and that's usually what I do. My goal for the year is whatever I actually hit the year before, because normally I do go over my goal.
Okay.
I'm a high achiever.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. We've all have our, you know.
We have our strengths.
Our strengths. And
reading is mine.
Yeah. That's a good strength.
It is
have.
A good strength.
Let's just jump in then, because I think I wanted to ask about Judy Blume.
Oh, yeah.
You know, reading. Was Judy Blume, when you were a young reader, one of the first authors
she wasn't
you came
one
to,
of,
I guess?
She wasn't first.
Who was first that you remember?
Was it
old Bev?
Maybe. Honestly, I asked my mom that question one time, and she said, Sarah, I don't know. You read so much that I didn't pay attention to what you're reading. And I was so offended, like shocked by that. I was like, oh my gosh, mom, you were such a 90s mom. Didn't pay attention. And then my daughter, Harper, she is a crazy reader. She reads just like I do.
Oh, okay.
You know, constantly. Honestly, she gets in trouble for how much she reads. Because,
and that's kind of new, right?
Like, yeah, since kindergarten.
Yeah.
Last year and a half. And I realized I judged my mom too quickly because it's a very long story, but I judged my mom too quickly because Harper reads so fast that I cannot read all the books with her.
What's she reading right now?
She's reading The Babysitter's Club.
Classic.
They have a graphic novel now, and she's very into graphic novels. So reading The Babysitter Club graphic novels. And they're awesome. They're big.
Was that kind of the books that like sparked it for her, or did this just kind of like overnight? She's like, you know what? I read books because I saw my mom doing it.
No, she started reading Owl Diaries and Unicorn Diaries.
Classic.
They're super sweet. They're chapter books, but with lots of pictures in them. It's like someone's diary. And that kind of got her started. And then she read every single one of those and moved on to Babysitter's Little Sister. But decided that she didn't like those anymore, and she wanted to read The Real Babysitter's Club.
Wow.
So, she's a great reader.
How old is she now?
Seven and a half-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we're like right on the front end of kind of getting into some of the books we've read.
Yes. Yes.
Like we're getting close to Charlotte's Web.
She definitely could read Charlotte's Web, and that's one where I've been like, I should read that with her.
Yeah.
And Matilda, I think that she would enjoy at this point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some Beverly Cleary.
Yeah.
We're getting close to Ramona.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That feels like an 8-year-old book.
Yeah.
And
she's a great reader.
Nice.
Yeah, so
my daughter is not a great reader.
Well,
she is 9 months old.
It happens.
So
one day
we're doing the Jesus Storybook Bible, which I got about cried three or four times in the first chapter.
Yeah.
What else are we doing? We did Hungry Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh,
which
love it.
Took me right back.
Okay.
I loved that book. I loved Eric Carle.
Davis loved that book.
Really?
Loved it. Couple of our faves. The pout pout fish.
Pout pout fish.
I would rap it to my children. I could probably still remember it. It's amazing. I'm not going to do it now. That'll be bonus content.
Nope.
I don't remember all
I'm
the words.
Saying
I'm a pout pout fish with pout pout face.
Keep going.
I can't remember. I'm spread this something all over the place.
All right. We're going to get a copy of the pout pout fish in here.
Bonus content.
Next episode. Oh, it's not bonus. I'm putting it in the main episode.
Also, Duck and Goose.
I'm doing the work
Goose
of the people
books.
Here.
Duck and Goose. Okay. We love Duck and Goose. And when my kids got too big to read them, the last time we read it, I had a good cry because they were very precious to us. So,
Okay. Yeah.
Just, I have so many kids' books I could tell you. But that's not the point of today's episode, Sam. Today, we are
today's
talking
about growing up a little bit.
About growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reading, or we read, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume.
By Judy Blume, published in 1970. I've got some fun facts
Can't
for
you. Can't
wait. Here. Did you know that the book was based on Judy Blume and her friends when she was growing up?
Didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
She said she set out just to write a real, honest book. And it wasn't intending for it to be about all these things about like puberty and the just being in the mind of a 12-year-old girl. But that's what came out. And she also, she wrote it in 6 weeks.
Wow.
The first draft, she said it just flowed out. She said now she couldn't write an essay in 6 weeks. But this book was, it was alive and exciting to her. And the story just flowed.
I love that.
Which I find fascinating.
I do too.
And my last fun fact, it shouldn't be, I don't think it's that surprising. This is one of the most challenged books of all time.
Oh yeah.
Less so these days, but on lists from like 1990 to 2010, this book was consistently challenged.
So
I can't remember the organization that keeps track of books that are
challenged.
But
honestly, as I read it, I'm like, this is a rather tame compared to those that are being challenged now. But then also, honestly, it makes me mad that it would be a challenge because puts a lot of shame in girls' heads about their bodies.
Well, and tell me more about that.
Well, just I loved. Well, are we allowed to say period on this?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of like why what this book, is incredible for.
Yeah,
is that these conversations, it's like.
Just was happening because they are happening.
It's shame about biology.
Right. Shame about biology, which
like,
then,
this is stuff that happens to every girl.
It's probably the patriarchy. Honestly, men are like, oh my God, I can't handle that. So let's ban the book.
Oh my God.
Let's suppress women. I'm sorry. That is not actually my soapbox that I get on. But reading this, it's like 10, 12-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls, these things are happening whether we suppress books about them or not.
Right.
The little girls are having conversations and that's it. Like they're having them and they need to because they need to. Like, and so to hear that they're like, that this was a challenge book does not surprise me, but it makes me sad because I know that this book probably made a generation of girls feel very normal and that's it. Like period. They made them, made them feel normal.
I think for me, what I loved was this was, I'm so glad I read this after having a girl. Cause I think you would have gotten a way more immature response from me.
Yeah.
Just being dead serious. Like,
no
I would
doubt.
Like,
no doubt. Even like, did you just say that?
Yeah. And all that stuff. But like now that I read it completely different after being a girl dad of like, oh, this is an education of things that not necessarily I'm going to be dealing with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I will be, but that feels like, you know, more mom conversation. But at the same time, it's like, I'm going to be there.
That's right.
Like,
that's right. You're going to be in the house.
I'm not going to stop being dad.
That's right. That's
just
right.
Just because it's like a woman's conversation.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know, dads should understand this stuff.
Totally.
And be able to talk about it without like, you know.
Without making their kid feel weird or gross.
This is normal stuff.
Yes.
And it's part of life. And even to, like, she gives us such a good insight into the mind of a 12-year-old. I'm guessing. I was never a 12-year-old girl. But I just felt like we were walking around in Margaret's mind. And that was the fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think if we're ready to dive in, although,
oh, we're in.
Oh, good. Okay. This story, although it is about like all of the first of these 12-year-old girls, or how, yeah, she was 12, mm-hmm. All these first.
11 or 12, can't remember.
It also is the question of, like, am I normal? Or mm-hmm. why isn't this happening to me? Feeling kind of other, which is not just a girl thing. It's a boy yeah. thing too. But for girls specifically, I mean, I was a 12-year-old girl at one point in my life for a whole year. And and I just, I remember, because it still happens sometimes, where I'm like, am I the only one that this is happening to?
Yeah.
And there's such
Or not happening to.
And there, and as an adult, I think we still feel that, where we're like, am I the only one who feels this way?
Right.
Not necessarily about our bodies. It could be about anything, but there's always that right. question of us. Am I the only one? And what was so, what I love about this book is that Margaret says these things, basically. Right. She says them to God, and she right. says, why aren't you doing this for me? Why am I the only one? Why am I this?
Right.
And I think hearing another girl, even though she's in a book, say, like, am I the only one?
Right.
Validates a lot of feelings for girls, where they're like, oh, I've asked that too.
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
There's an intimacy to it.
Mm-hmm.
This book is like very, very intimate.
Yeah.
Like, you are very close to Margaret and her mm-hmm. friends. What I also thought was interesting was, now I'm actually gonna let you take it.
Okay.
Continuing that line, what did you enjoy most about this book? Actually, no, first, had you had any experience with this book before we read it? Did you read it as a kid?
Yeah, I read it as a kid. I can't totally remember my experience reading it as a kid, but I read many Judy Blume books.
Okay.
Honestly, as I'm sitting here, I'm pretty sure I read it in second grade in Florida.
Jacksonville.
Right? I just, as we're sitting here, I'm like, oh, I remember the library in Jacksonville, and I remember reading this book and also feeling a little bit like, oh my God, what am I reading?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Any other memories of it that did it stick out to you, or things that came back to you when you were reading it again? Like, oh, I remember.
We must
our bus. That was my favorite Goodreads
so
review.
Funny. It's just so funny, because also as an adult, you know, like, that's not going to help you. Sorry, girls. Like,
but it's not.
It's not.
Oh.
It's not. Don't even try.
Oh. I had to get one immature remark in. I've been pretty mature.
You have been
so far. I've grown up, you know.
Proud of you.
Doing a lot of introspection and
having a kid.
I have never read this book before. This is my first time.
Does not surprise me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was reading Star Wars books at this time.
Because I was a cool kid. Yeah.
Sarah made the L sign.
I did it. So sorry. Don't come for me.
An L on her forehead.
Don't come for me, people.
90s again. Okay. I'm really excited about this question.
Oh, gosh.
Because I enjoyed the characters the most. Like, every character just felt like they existed in real life, and we're just reading a real diary about
mm-hmm.
them. How did you feel about Philip Leroy?
I knew many Philip Leroys in my life.
I wanted to know their name specifically.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, though, I think that's something that I enjoyed too. This takes me on a couple of trains. One, I think every girl who has ever been in sixth grade
mm-hmm.
knows a Philip Leroy,
yep.
knows just all of the cast of characters. What was the girl's name? Laura? Laura.
Oh, yeah. What was Laura's last name?
I should be a better reader than this.
I like how they always, she's not just Laura.
Yeah, she's always,
it's
Laura
always her first and
Laura
last
Danker.
Name. Laura Danker.
And this is something else that I enjoyed about this book, because again, it talks about all these firsts, but then it also talks about being a sixth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And when Margaret tells Laura, like, is mean to Laura and tells her that she's been behind the A&P
mm-hmm.
with Moose and the other kid. And it was just, that scene really stood out to me because Laura was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That is not me. And then later when
but
Mark,
it's like, yeah, because she developed first.
That's right.
Everybody starts this whole story of, and it's a shameful story.
It just fills
in around her.
But then also then when Margaret says to me, she's like, why did you tell mm-hmm. that you went behind the AMP? And he's like, Margaret, do you believe everything everybody says to you? And I remember those feelings in middle school where your closest friends and will say things and you're like, oh yeah, that must be true.
Yeah.
You don't really doubt it. Especially I was new a lot in my elementary school years. We moved. And I kind of never,
military family, right?
Mm-hmm, my dad was Navy. I never really, even as we lived in the same city for a long time, I always kind of felt new, not in the crowd. And so Margaret, I can imagine, well, we know she doesn't totally feel like she fits in.
Because at the start of the book, it's about her moving from the city to the suburbs.
Yes. And so she makes these friends who kind of are like, you have to be our friend. Come on.
Right.
And so if they tell her that, what is she supposed to do? Like, that's
right.
She's not going to challenge them because she needs friends.
Right. And she doesn't know these people either.
And she doesn't know these people. And so she believes it. And so when he says, like, do you believe everything everybody says to you? I feel like I probably had conversations like that where it was like, oh, do I? What? And it's just learning, like, as a sixth grader, it kind of just shows you the world a little bit. Like, I can't believe everything everybody says.
That is a moment for as a kid where it's like, well, why would they lie?
Right. Why would they lie?
All right. Here's my question everyone asks.
Okay.
Power rank these three.
Oh my gosh.
Number one is the worst.
Okay. Worst to best or worst to less best.
Worst to less worst. Philip Leroy. Henry Fussy from Charlotte's Web.
Ooh.
And here's Ernie McMillan from Harry Potter.
Okay.
It could have gone Draco, but then I was like, Ernie's funnier because Draco's just.
I will say. That is a good one because I'm like, I always reading Charlotte's Web. I always wanted to push, what's his name? Henry Fussy. Like, yeah, I just wanted to shove him.
But he's just there.
I'm going to go Philip, Henry, Ernie.
Okay. Philip's the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because Ernie's a Hufflepuff.
He's actually, but we actually get kind of the humor, you know, a little bit where you're like, okay, you're kind of funny. But Henry, I just always had the urge to shove him.
Right.
Like
Henry Fussy.
I mean, it doesn't help that his last name is Fussy.
I love that Henry's the worst, and he doesn't get a line of dialogue in the story.
No, but he's the worst.
He's just the one on the Ferris wheel with fur.
Yep, he's just the worst. Good question.
Okay, I was excited about that one. Other things I enjoyed, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, was being in the mind of a 12-year-old. I think on page 19, this line, I read it again, and I was like, I don't know why I found it so funny, but I just did. I'll read a little bit. It turned out that my father hadn't cut off anything, but it took 8 stitches to soap his finger because her dad just reached into the mower. Yep. Which one, as a dad, I can relate of like, I do so many dumb things where it's like, why did I just do that? That was pretty dangerous.
Yep.
The doctor who sewed him was Dr. Potter. After he was through with my father, he came out to chat. When he saw me and he said, I have a daughter about your age. I love the way people always think they know somebody your age until you tell them how old you really are. I'm going on 12, I said. Gretchen is almost 12 too, the doctor said. Well, he was right about my age. So that got an out loud chuckle out of me at the Starbucks that I was sitting reading in.
I loved, they all had their fake names in their club.
Oh, right.
And then later on, she's like, we stopped calling each other by those names because it was getting too complicated or something like that. And truly, truly, I remember doing that, being like, okay, we'll be called so-and-so. And then I was like, wait, am I this one or are you this one? I loved the little club. That was funny.
The PTS.
Yes. And then writing down their boy book. Oh my gosh. Where she was like, oh my gosh.
Did those exist? Was that a real thing? Did you have a boy book?
I didn't have a boy book, but I mean, we talked about boys all the time. It was a constant.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, this is... When I was in sixth grade, I was not cool. I wasn't
what?
Not cool.
Yeah.
But that was when I, looking back, I look at myself and I'm like, you looked like a kid. But I back then, that's when I got chubby.
Oh.
And so I would hang out with chubby kids.
Well,
we would sit at lunch. So we didn't talk about girls, yeah. But also because I grew up around all boys.
Yeah.
And so talking about girls was like icky, you know, so we talked about Tennessee football.
Well, I don't really think that boys talk about girls as early as girls talk about boys.
But they think about them all the time.
But they're not going to talk about them because they have to be cool.
Yeah, you got to play it cool. Yeah. You can't look vulnerable, which the irony is, I feel like. I mean, this is the secret I'm glad I didn't know growing up, but it's like that vulnerability is what girls are attracted to.
They just want you to talk to them.
Well, sane girl. Like, yes. You know, like.
Yeah.
There's always, I think you're always going to get the ones where it's like,
I love guys who are mean to me.
Mean, exactly. The tough bad boy, whatever. But
it's like, no.
When they grow out of that and actually want a real relationship, it's the vulnerability. But as a sixth grader, you're like dead opposite. Yeah.
I feel like boys, they just take a little longer to become girl crazy because, I mean, Davis is 5.
I'm going
to
push back a little bit.
Are you? Mm-hmm.
They are. They just not say anything.
Well, verbally. I think
verbally,
there's something.
But it's happening.
Well, it's happening, but girls are like boy crazy where that's all they're going to talk about and it's going to happen.
What?
I feel like it was middle school.
Yeah.
I can remember 6th, 7th, 8th where it was just like.
Mine was 4th grade. Yeah.
But boys, it just stays locked in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You keep it to yourself.
But girls are like, what else are we going to talk about? Girls, that's all you talk about is boys.
Whereas, like, there's always like those two kids.
Yeah.
Who was like, oh, did you see, what's most random? Rachel,
Rachel's your most random.
That's the first name that came to my head.
Veronica.
Did you see Veronica? And like, they're the boy that we'll talk about. Oh yeah. She's so hot.
Yep.
You know, but then the rest of the boys are like,
yes. I mean, even just saying hot, I'm like.
But then from then on, when Rachel comes up and talks, everybody just stops like, being able to talk.
Oh my gosh. But like Davis is 5 and he has become an all sports kid.
Yeah.
That's all he talks about constantly, which.
Wow. Nat's son, I'm so shocked.
Literally, this is a long tangent and you can cut it if you want, but he had tennis lessons yesterday.
Wow.
Our kids are both in tennis lessons because we're tennis obsessed. And Nat was like, Davis is just abnormally good for a 5-year-old. And I was like, does that surprise you? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, you're good at these things. And I was like, you and Davis are going to go out there and be like experts in 5 seconds. And Harper and I are going to be crying because you'll keep beating
us. Yeah. Oh, Sarah, this was my childhood.
Yeah.
Nat's good at everything.
Oh my gosh. So annoying.
And I
love you so much.
We're talking about my older brother, Sarah's husband, Nat. It's Nat, N-A-T.
Yes.
I didn't know that wasn't a common name.
It's not common at all.
But this was what I thought about in sixth grade. This is my thing. I was like artsy, nerdy kid. But because so much of my time was consumed with beating Nat and things, I became sports kid. And I look back and I was like, I should have done theater.
It was.
I should have done orchestra. But I had to beat Nat at these stupid sports. And so I became a sports kid, and I look back, that's off the tangent. That was my sixth grade self.
It wasn't because you enjoyed sports.
No.
I was just trying to
I was the youngest, and I was the caboose on the train that had already gone down the tracks.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Speaking of let's get back on them. Sarah, what spoke to you from this story?
Okay. This book, I feel like it's just one of those multi-layer things, but I don't know if it spoke to me, but it created a great sadness in me about Margaret's mom's parents, her grandparents, and how they cut off Margaret's mom when she married Margaret's dad. And as I read the story, when the grandparents wrote the letter where they're like, we're getting older and we think that we were wrong. I don't know why, but it not touched me, but it just said something to me. But then I was so disappointed when they left and Margaret's disappointment that she didn't get to go to Florida.
Yeah.
Because they were coming into town and then they left after
such
a day. It's so real.
Situation.
It's so real. And how kids can get caught in the middle.
Yeah.
And so it's books like these. This is why I love reading of all ages and stages and books like this, because now I'm looking at this as a parent and I'm like, oh, I don't want my kids to get caught in any of my things, which praise the Lord. I love my in-laws, your parents, very much. Nat loves my parents very much. And we have good relationships and our kids aren't.
Yeah.
But it is something where this is making me aware, like, oh, don't let my kids get caught in anything that's my issue.
Well, it's interesting you say that from the parent side, because the moment the parents were coming in, from the parent side, I was like, golly, they must feel so trapped.
Yeah, yes.
It's not like they want to take away Marker's trip to Florida. But as a kid, I remember, like, there were situations like that where you're like, oh, the injustice.
Yes.
Like, I remember I was, it was job shadow day. It was in fourth grade, and there was a day that kids weren't in school because they went and shadowed their parents. But my dad was going on his yearly, he only gets to go on a running trip once a year with his best friend, Tommy, where they would go and just two guys, they would go and they loved running and they would go somewhere new and run a bunch of different places. And so I didn't get to go to job shadowing. And I remember just feeling so wronged.
Yeah.
But as a parent, like, I look back now and I'm like, of course my dad, like, my dad is a farmer who works most of the year and never gets to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And this is his best friend. Yep. Like, and so it was so interesting being on the parent side of like, well, she has no choice. The trip to Florida is done.
Yeah.
But as a kid, like, it's just, we've all had, I think we've had those moments where it's like something gets, and I could put myself in the parent's shoes.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, they must feel so trapped of like disappointing their kid versus like something that they just have to do.
Right. Right. And
I want to circle back to what do you think, made such a deep impression on you about the relationship with the parents? You said specifically the letter. Was it kind of, why do you think that stirred something in you?
I think there's something about getting older. That is probably the big thing, is just, I mean, I'm only 34, but I mean, we're all getting older every day, but I think there was sadness in me for them at thinking for 14 years, they missed their daughter's life and their granddaughter's life.
Yeah.
And that just made me sad, which we could go deep into why.
Yeah.
I don't. I
mean, my next conversation, the thing that spoke to me was about the discovering religion.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we can, I don't know if I want to go all the way into like the fact that because their daughter married a Jewish man, they decided to cut him off. Cause that to me, whew, that's a deep issue, but it just made me sad. Like, we're getting older and they lived for 14 years and then they regretted this huge decision. Yeah. And it's like, oof, man, you really, that's painful. It's painful.
Yeah. And having had a baby daughter, seen how much my parents and Emily's parents just love being grandparents.
Yeah.
It's like missing being a grandparent to a
awesome
baby girl. Like,
Can you imagine them never meeting her?
And it's over. I mean, they're fundamentalists,
right?
Like it kind of says it, but we can also say it like, they're very fundamentalist. And, cause this book is, it's about, there's two sides of it. It's like emerging womanhood and it's also about religion. Mm-hmm. It's about two heavy things.
Yeah.
I loved that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I love that Margaret is discovering religious belief and what it means, its place. Like, my favorite thing was that she went to all these
different
services. Yeah. And, but also you can just like, cause like I was the kid, like I grew up in a Christian family. So like being a good boy was wanting to do the Christian things. Mm-hmm. And that was a way you pleased your parents. Right. And you see that pressure on her to be like, oh, like, well, grandma is really happy when I go to temple.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, but as like a middle schooler, you should, I think even then you start to become aware of like, I can do this to score points with my parents or because I actually believe it.
Right.
And I don't think like you're having the full on conversations about that, but the seeds of it are there.
Yeah.
And I was, it just captures it so well. Like I love that it records her prayers.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
It was page 138 was my favorite part of it. One, I love the ending, the way that turned out. But it was the prayer on page 138. This is right after
she was mean to Lord Anchor.
She said, "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. I did an awful thing today. Just awful. I'm definitely the most horrible person who ever lived, and I really don't deserve anything good to happen to me. I picked on Laura Danker. Just because I felt mean, I took it all out on her. I really hurt Laura's feelings. Why did you let me do that? I've been looking for you, God. I looked in temple, I looked in church, and today I looked for you and I wanted to confess. But you weren't there. I didn't feel you at all. Not the way I do when I talk to you at night. Why, God, do I only feel you when I'm alone? Mm. For me, that's one of those situations where you and I could talk about it for a while. Mm-hmm. But I just like the way the book speaks it.
Yeah.
One, the honest prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I prayed the same prayer from 3rd to 7th grade. Mm-hmm. It was the only prayer I prayed. I can't remember it now, but I would pray it at night because I was supposed to. I love that she's already just being completely honest with mm-hmm. God.
Me too.
We could do a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the pastor in this conversation. but we could have a whole conversation about that. But also, I just love that. Why do I feel you more when I'm alone?
Yeah.
I
just love that she was wrestling with her own faith, like, yeah. or lack of, or whatever. Because like you said, many kids go to church because their parents take them to church. Yeah. And it's not usually until adulthood or post, like in college, where they're like, oh, yeah. is this my own? And I love that. She has recognized that faith is kind of an issue in her family. She's yeah. aware of her parents.
It's why her parents don't.
Yes.
And mom's an atheist.
Yes. And she's like, okay, what is it? What does it mean? And that yeah. I love Margaret, like the maturity of her to be like, I'm going to wrestle with this.
Right.
And I'm going to pray, even though I don't feel you, God, even though I'm really not actually sure if you're there, I'm still going to pray. And I think it's yeah. just amazing. And I hope, my children are not, they don't have parents who have been disowned.
Right.
There's no controversy.
They don't come from a household with a
right.
Christian mother and a Jewish father.
That's right. There's no real controversy in their faith. But my prayer is always that they find their own faith, that right. it's not just an obligation to mom and dad.
Right. Something you said about her, she's mature. It made me think of something that's like, because my thought was like, she's maturing.
Yeah. Yes.
But I kind of think they're the same thing. Like yeah. somebody who is maturing is mature, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I know that sounds like a dumb sentence, but I like the idea. I think it's true that somebody who is the mature thing is to pursue maturity mm-hmm. and it's going to be a process mm-hmm. and it's going to like, cause I mean, her prayer at the end is still because she finally got her period.
Yes.
You know, like there's still some like, you gave me yeah. what I wanted, so I'll believe in
yes.
you. There's some immaturity in that.
But the wrestling
mm-hmm. and honestly, it's really good confession.
Yeah. Yes.
that she does like to yes. God. But then there's the immaturity of like, why'd you let me do that?
And right.
it's like, God didn't let you do that.
Right.
He did it. You know, and but the maturity
is lifelong.
But like, that's it shows the process. And yes. I'm like, that's maturity.
It is.
It's somebody maturing is mature to me.
Yes.
Because the opposite is somebody who's not maturing at all.
Right. Right. I agree with that. Maturing is a lifelong process.
It is.
You never like reach it.
Right. And it's being in the process that
that's
makes
right.
you. Mature.
Right.
And that's what I love about Margaret. And she's just so real.
Yeah. Loved it.
And if this
love
book
her.
Was written in 1970, that means Margaret would be born in 1958. That would make her in her 60s now.
Yeah. She's maturing.
She's still maturing. Yeah. Maybe she has grandchildren somewhere that she's wanting to take to Florida. Except she's stepping in and be like, no, we're going to Florida.
Yeah, that's it. She's like, it's fine. We're gone.
Well, Sarah, good recommendation.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this. And I enjoyed this conversation.
I did too.
I think next for our book, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay, I'm ready.
I want to read Peter Nimble and His Fantastic Eyes.
Okay.
By Jonathan Oxier.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit longer.
Okay.
But I've read it before and okay. I just really enjoyed it. I love the author.
Okay.
Jonathan Oxier. It's like a... it's got some strong Peter Pan vibes.
Okay.
I'll say that.
That's great.
I think the author is a huge Peter Pan fan.
Okay.
And so we will read that next time.
Awesome.
Peter Nimble and His Fantastic Eyes.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back.
Yes.
All right. And we will see you next time.
See ya.